Yeah. Only because I literally see no hope for actually building a soccer stadium.
I agree. I don't know if it means going to Baltimore, but I think they're leaving.
How much do you hate that?
I hate it a lot.
I hate it a lot.
But
I hate it too, because they would become our rival.
See,
and I love
DC. DC is going to stay in DC longer than they probably should, but they'll only move once teams like Columbus, San Jose, and New England sort out their futures.
Mm-hmm.
As in,
well, it looks like San Jose is getting their own stadium.
Well, but as these clubs have their future sorted out as far as stadiums and in large part fans in general, once they have that sorted out, then they're gonna. Well, then MLS will be like, okay, DC is like now is now the pimple on the face of.
Nah, that's still New England.
Well, it's both of them. There's two bad pimples.
The thing is, yeah, RFK isn't the best venue, but that place.
That's a lie.
That place is so fun.
It's, well, I mean, I'm sure
that place is fucking.
We were there for the Jamaica match.
I was going out of my mind.
It was. Where Bar Brava are for supporting during the matches.
There's fucking chairs missing.
It's a trampoline.
Yeah,
you jump and you bounce up in the air twice as high.
There's chairs missing, seats, people just go. It's free.
It's a shithole, but it's their shithole.
Yeah. Okay. It's literally, they're the only ones who play there. It's their place.
I could see it being fun.
It is fun.
I can understand that.
And honestly, what's the point of soccer going to be fun? So.
Public safety.
Fuck that shit. It's DC. I don't care about people in DC.
There was some running joke that they would end up playing, that they would end up leaving RFK and playing at one of the local colleges.
That wasn't a joke. That was a legit rumor.
Because they actually played Philadelphia Union in a U.S. Open Cup match this year at some tiny college, and the stands may have
held like a lot of teams do that, though.
1,000 seats.
I believe Seattle doesn't. Seattle plays theirs at a smaller venue.
Houston plays does, there. I believe. Chicago does even too. I think.
Not at Bridgeview.
They may have phased it up, but I think recently they had a couple games outside of Bridgeview.
Rev's just playing the train room.
So yeah, I'm very concerned about this possible movement. I don't want DC. I mean DC.
They became the first dynasty.
DC, I think, still is. Like, when I think MLS, I think DC United. I think they're the club that comes to mind first because they had that dynasty, because they're in the capital, and just the, you know what, MLS historical clubs, they're top of my list. I mean, we've seen it happen before with Wimbledon leaving to become Milton Keynes Dons, but still, it's a big loss if DC left.
We need a club at some point in the nation's capital.
Absolutely.
I mean, look at it around the world. In France, I think we're going to see PSG probably win the title. In London, how many clubs are in London?
49.
Oh, probably not
top
a bad
division,
guess.
I believe six this year.
Yeah. So that's just it. There needs to be a club in the nation's capital. And it needs to actually be there. So they couldn't move outside.
And not
outside
only that, if they're one DC in United. The nation's capital, but they're usually good.
Yeah, they are. You know, last year, and then
DC
maybe
DC United's ideas of a bad season is not competing for a championship.
And let's be honest, they had some weird things happen this year, but I still love Olsen as a coach.
Yeah, he did a real nice job.
I don't think he's a future national team coach, but he's definitely a youth coach in my mind.
And they don't have a bad set of players on.
They don't. They've got a lot of good talent. And especially,
assuming Charlie stays, which...
Would you be opposed to them knocking over RFK and building a new stadium right there?
Not at all. I mean,
of course, that would mean one or two seasons playing
at a college.
At a college or just playing more away matches than home matches, which sucks.
I mean, I believe University of Maryland's half hour away.
Maryland has actually said we could let this happen. So
I think that that's the most plausible solution is to knock over RFK, which is crumbling. And sure, it's fun. And I'm sure it's fun because it's crumbling, but it's crumbling nonetheless.
I mean, the location does suck. I mean, it was hard to...
Parking's already there.
A lot of parking. Well, I mean, it is kind of in a shitty area. Yeah. But so is Bridgeview. So is...
Yeah, it is.
The Union.
So
PPL Park.
So is Frisco.
Well, that's just, it's in the middle of nowhere. Right?
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Turner Park?
No.
It's a shitty neighborhood.
It's a really bad
neighborhood. It's real sketch. But, I mean, yeah, that would be a big loss if we had to lose DC United.
What else we got?
Speaking of MLS playoffs, a lot of shit happened.
Yeah.
Second leg, Sporting KC, Colorado.
KC did what they were supposed to do. Finished
Surprise!
Off Colorado without making it interesting, which was really impressive for me on the team, like Sporting Kansas City.
And I thought after that, I thought KC would roll the championship. I thought Zeusy.
Well, let's stay with the second leg.
Zeusy.
Okay.
No, let's
yes or no.
Speed ahead.
Zeusy, yes
or
no.
It's been an hour and 5 minutes.
Zeusy, yes or no, sends in the best ball in soccer outside of Brad Davis.
In MLS.
American soccer.
Yes.
Period.
Probably.
Graham Zeusy is filthy with his free kicks and his corner kicks. That's just disgusting.
When are we
He'll
seeing
look
him?
In January.
If he is not... Honestly, I think seeing him play
Unless
the playoffs,
January camp is declared under 23.
Yes, but I honestly...
But yeah, he should still look.
I think Zeusy is right now...
How old is Graham? Because this is 24, 25. Is this his second year?
Second year.
Out of Maryland?
He left earlier, didn't he?
Yeah, that's very true, though, about... Zeusy, he's absolutely filthy.
Zeusy is 25 on the short end. So he's still, not so, I think right now he's best American 11 in
MLS.
He's
a gritty player, too.
He can send a nice, nice tackle. He hurts people.
I like
he's fun
that.
To watch. And Would God, you, that hair. God, that hair.
Would you say he's like a midfielding version of Frankie?
No. Because Frankie
nobody,
can't,
nobody too talented.
Frankie can't cross.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with the hair, you know, the tackling bite.
I'd say
there's
say
some comparisons.
The closest we're going to get.
He's closer to if Maestro could cross.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was like a good 2.5 seconds of no talking.
Thanks, Rob.
Great.
Because now I can't take this out of editing because they're going to sit there and go, oh, I was 2.5 seconds.
Okay.
And then we'll still see Sapong.
All right.
Sapong is...
Whose Twitter handle is hilarious.
Big Africa's the bomb.
Yeah.
Fucking love that guy. That's why I love KC, because not only are they a good team, they're so much fun. They're cool. So much fun to pay attention to.
Let's talk about the second leg that got real interesting in that second half.
Seattle RSL.
Indeed.
One of the best games I've ever seen.
Regardless of how it was basically one team putting the hurt on another one and the one team having hurt put on them.
Well, I mean,
stand it.
Seattle got that
and
second
they
goal with 20 minutes
hour.
To go?
Almost a half hour.
Wasn't it?
Time.
And they were able to hold up. I mean, when they gave up that second goal with that much time left, did you really think they would be able to hold off?
I did.
I mean, with the crowd and...
The first half...
And Olave and Borchers not in... I thought that they could get at least another goal.
I thought they were going to break.
I didn't think they were, only because the Sounders had been running around all night, and having to make two first-half subs absolutely kills you. And
that was
the
killer.
And by the end of the match, there was no connection in the midfield. There was the back four and everyone else.
No, it was Keller and everyone else.
Do you credit Raimondo's leadership for being able to keep them together?
I credit dumb luck.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the game is dumb luck, but yeah, this one a little more than others.
Yeah, that was one of the best finishes I've ever seen in professional soccer.
Because I mean, RSL first half did a great job of killing that first half off without giving up a goal.
Quick side note: who believed when Beck would say we're not going to bunker? Who believed that? Anyone?
No,
no.
He's an American. He played under Bob. He's going to bunker.
Not really.
For him to bunker, he'd have to stand on the end line.
That was, I would say, heartbreaking being a KC Keller fan.
Yeah, it really was because in his last match ever, we didn't really see.
He made a couple big saves, though.
Yeah, he did make some massive saves.
Yeah, at least if nothing else, his last match, he went out with a clean
sheet. How fitting is it that he got a clean sheet, but his team couldn't support him just like his entire career? How fitting is it?
He's better than his whole team.
Basically.
Classic KC Keller. The conference finals were some fun times. LA doing what we kind of expected LA would do.
I guess, yeah, against the Red Bulls.
Oh, are we not? Oh, that's
we're
right.
We're still in
the Western Conference.
We're going so long right now.
The mix of conferences, you mean? The interconference finals.
Yes. Well, how about Houston Philly? Brad Davis still the MVP. Brian Chang is still a good player. Yep. Fuck everyone else. Brian,
I'll tell you what, they got that goal.
By the way, I told you also. Everyone. I said that I said that Houston was going to go to Philly and score goals and then come back and hold their own.
They scored that goal, and I really have never, at least on the MLS level, seen any team kill off a game as well as the Dynamo did. Philly didn't have any clear-cut chances.
That was just
the whole second half. They had the ball. They never got chances.
Just the clock just ran. Basically, you just killed the clock. It was the entire game.
It was great. Kinnear showed his tactical genius.
Did you also see him throw when he punched the ball?
Yes!
That was hilarious.
I saw it on the replays, and I didn't see it like the third time it happened.
He punched it far, too.
It was a good punch.
Yeah.
And then moving on to the last second leg of the quarterfinals, we had...
The MLS corporate wet dream.
The LA Galaxy, New Jersey.
Yeah, LA Galaxy, New York Red Bulls. I mean, even without Marquez, I still fucking hate the Red Bulls.
Yeah, I hate Luke Rogers.
I hate Luke Rogers. I hate Thierry Henry.
This is actually a note. Even without Marquez, NYRB is still the bitchiest side in MLS.
I also said that Rogers and Underneath would be punched in or kicked in the head. Fucking hate those guys. Oh, Luke Rogers trying to kill a woman. How about that?
Yeah,
trying to commit murder.
Is there anyone playing better in the MLS playoffs right now than David Beckham?
Yes.
Who?
Mike McGee.
Good point. Mike McGee's getting all of his goals from Beckham, though.
He's finishing him now.
Right.
Chad Barrett couldn't do it.
And Beckham is serving him.
Oh, so if Chad Barrett can't do it, it must be impressive if somebody else can.
Hey, shut up.
Chad Barrett's fucking class. Chad Barrett, we don't like you.
I like Chad Barrett. I like Shrek.
I like Wade Barrett. I don't like Chad Barrett.
Wade Barrett.
I like them both. We kind of talked about this for the podcast. We have our Yank of the Week where we give props to somebody. In honor of the New York Red Bulls, who do we hate the most this week? What's the one person or team?
It can't be your
the Mexican person. National team. You gave me the option of team, so Mexican national team.
So this week, who did you hate the most?
But they're always going to win for me.
This week, who did I hate the most?
Them. And they're supporters who throw bags of piss at us.
I'm going to go with Rafael Marquez. I know it's cliche, but it's so true. I hate you. With an undying... What? No. Didn't Giuseppe Rossi. Suck it!
At some level, you loved seeing Marquez antics at the end of the match in New York.
They're a better team without him.
Because it made you feel so good to see him act like such a douchebag.
That made me feel... But it was last week, though. So my hate of the week is Luke Rogers. I hate Luke Rogers.
Yeah, that was going to be my other one.
That guy sucks.
Also in the way of our soccer future.
He's also so ugly.
Yeah.
He looks like a dick. His body...
He looks like you took Connor Casey and took a mallet and smashed him into the ground again.
It could be Sheamus's dick.
I just fucking hate Luke Rogers.
It may be.
Yeah.
Does it say Torty?
That guy... I hate that guy.
Finals.
Other notes from the Galaxy match. How about Roy Miller going Tim Ream on Sean Franklin, was it? On that penalty kick he drew?
Oh, yeah.
Where he handled the ball.
He just went right through Beckham.
He handled the ball, pushed him in the back, and then kicked him at the chest. At the same time, it was three penalties in one swift movement.
It was actually... I'm not even angry. I'm impressed.
And once again, Donovan doesn't miss penalties.
Nope.
And Mike McGee is wicked sexy.
Except for in an MLS Cup final.
Or a... what was that? Superliga he missed?
I believe so.
But who cares what Superliga?
No, literally no one.
Literally. That's why it's dead.
Yep, and nobody even cared.
Nope, no one even gave a shit.
Nope.
Speaking of nobody cares, I hate Houston too.
Why?
How did Houston beat the best team in the league right now? Well, the MVP. Well, Brad Davis for 50 fucking minutes.
They didn't take their chances, Sporting. They had 8 shots in the first half.
But how did Houston win? How? They suck.
Funniest thing.
I hate Houston.
After Brad Davis gets injured, and first set piece in the Sporting Kansas City half, the announcer was it?
I didn't watch it, so I don't know.
I don't remember which announcer it was, but they were talking about How is Houston going to be able to convert these penalty or these set pieces without Brad Davis? Moffitt puts the ball in. It pinballs around in the box.
Youth soccer's around in the box.
Hainault sticks a leg on it, puts it in. I'm starting to think that this team is destined to win.
Which makes me so angry, because I don't like Houston at all.
And then Carlos Costley accidentally scored a goal.
Yeah, I think he tried to miss it. I shoot wide left. Oh, fuck. Oh, it goes in. Oh, shit.
Oh, Kinnear's not going to start me? Oh, fuck you. Oh, goddamn.
What, that? He needed the Clint Mathis watch tab.
Really?
And some sporting Kansas City fan almost connected on a beer to his head.
Which I still don't support.
Well,
I enjoy that.
I don't sub to Mexico's level.
Because you're a bad person.
I am a bad person. Yeah. Except when I'm not.
Other notes. How good is Tally Hall? I've been saying it all year, but when there was that scrum in the box on the Kansas City attacking going towards the right, and Hall kept his balance like four times. He should have gone down, but stayed up and then made the save. Just Tally Hall is incredible. But for me, the best play of the game was Matt Beisler's jumping two-foot tackle on Camargo, where Camargo's wide open and just has to tap it past Nielsen. And out of nowhere, Beisler just comes in Paul Scholl style, scoops it away right in Nielsen's arms. I think it was the best I've ever seen. It's ridiculous. So Matt Beisler, good for you, bro.
Last night, which I'm going to say was one of my favorite MLS matches to watch ever, LA Galaxy, Real Salt Lake, there could have easily been 5, 6, 7 goals in this match. Easily. LA won 3-1.
Donovan,
it started with the questionable penalty decision.
I think it was a legit penalty.
When I first saw it, I thought that, but you have to wonder how much Andy Williams pushed him in the back.
But, do you want one more reason to love Tally Hall? Let's try and guess what his Bulldog's name is. No, his Terrier. His Boston Terrier.
Erica?
FIFA. Not even kidding.
Okay, oh, well. His wife's Erica.
Damn.
Yeah, his wife is Erica. They have a Boston Terrier named FIFA.
That's legit.
And he also admires Brad Friedel.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Well, kind of.
Ish.
Used to.
I still do. A little bit. Anyway.
Okay, so first goal.
As usual, Landon Donovan.
2 minutes later, Saborio scores.
Donovan, as usual, does nothing all game and then gets an assist and a penalty kick.
Whatever, man.
And there was a lot going into that, because Raimondo's the one guy on this planet who has Donovan's number from the spot.
Two penalty saves against him.
Has anybody else ever stopped two penalties on Donovan?
Probably not, no.
I think he's missed a total of three his entire life. I think he's missed three in his entire life.
His entire life?
That I care about.
So Donovan coolly slotted it into the right side. And he actually said after the match he planned on going left, which is where Raimondo dove to, and then he changed his mind last second. So maybe second-guessing works for him.
Well, work with the wife.
Okay. Ooh. Mike McGee,
still
another
wicked,
goal.
Still wicked second. I love Mike McGee.
Mike McGee and David Beckham have connected three times in the playoffs alone.
You know, my theory is we all know why Beckham came to L.A., because
to meet Mike McGee.
Because the wife wants to be in Hollywood. I'm pretty sure that Beckham thinks Mike McGee actually is Bradley Cooper. He's trying to kiss up to get Victoria.
And they're best friends.
Yeah. Mike McGee, so sexy. Love that guy. Big fan.
Indeed. And then Robbie Keane finished
it
off.
God, I love that celebration. That's my favorite thing in all of sports. Fucking love that shit.
Robbie Keane looked very good yesterday. Could have easily had a hat trick. Probably should have. Had a few missed chances there, but still got the goal. 3-1 win, so he's not going to be complaining. And then
Aaron Gobrow.
Moving into MLS year-end awards.
Yeah, today
we have.
Today the finalists for the 6-7 awards were announced today.
Shall we have just a quick rundown?
Let's do a quick rundown. Do a quick.
Robbie, you want to start us off?
Well, the MVP here, well, you've got Brad Davis, Duane Irizarry, and Breck Shea. Basically, if we've all talked about.
I say Ozzy. He's not on this list, though. So if I have to pick between these three, I'm saying Brad Davis.
I'm going to go with Brad Davis only because we've seen
what happens when you
like
say Duane Irizarry.
Yeah.
You picked Dwayne DeRosario, and Ryan McCauley ripped you an asshole. A new one.
Oh. But yeah, I mean, it hurt you. But I was kind of waiting for Davis to maybe slow regress. Down a little bit and regress, and then we would have pretty much no choice but to pick Darrow. But they didn't go down, and Darrow has still been on three different clubs this year, so...
Yeah, it's Brett Davis.
Yeah, he seems like the obvious pick.
Okay.
Big Brett Davis fan.
Breck Shea is a nice choice, but it seems more like a resume pattern than anything else.
Yeah. Coach of the Year, Bruce Arena, Shiggy Smits, and Peter Vermes.
Oh, this isn't a competition for me. Vermes.
It's Vermes by Country Mile. Taking that team from winning with 1-11, and then...
How... That is so impressive from a manager when you start... A season off the way that they did with
Six
all those road matches. It was 10.
No, it was 11, wasn't it?
11? I believe it was 10.
It was a
10 league matches, I believe.
Yeah.
And then he was still able to get them together and make that run and finish first in the East. I know the East isn't that great, but.
So who do you guys have in the assistant referee of the year?
Your mother.
Ouch.
I'm going to Sean Hurd, and I have no idea who
so
he is.
So we're all saying Vermes?
Yeah, Vermes.
Okay.
Rookie of the Year, we've got Michael Farfan, a.k.a. Marfan, Perry Kitchen, or Cedar Sapong.
I think Gabe Farfan should have been on there. I think they mixed the guys up.
There's a very good chance of that.
But even still, he's a distant third, and then Perry Kitchen's the distant second to Sapong.
Yeah, it's Sapong, yeah, by a wide margin.
Great year from him. Bright future. National team?
Absolutely.
I hope so.
So we're still unanimous again with that. Keeper of the Year, Kevin Hartman, Casey Keller, or Freed Mandragon?
I think we're going to see Casey Keller more out of sentiment than anything else.
You might be right, but I think it's got to be Kevin Hartman.
And it's got to be Hartman, and Mondragon shouldn't be on the list.
Yeah, why is Mondragon nominated?
Don't even know.
Where is Raimondo?
Raimondo, Saunders, Dan Kennedy even. Kennedy had a much better year than Mondragon did.
I would only say that Saunders not being on there is in part because he hasn't played that much.
I agree, but the thing is... If you look at the two teams, the biggest goalkeeper question marks, that L.A. and Philadelphia, because you know L.A. had the issues with Ricketts getting hurt and Saunders playing really well. And then over with Philly, you had Mondragon playing very well, then getting hurt, McMath coming in, playing very well, and then dropping him when Freed came back. And then what happened? Philly shit the bed. What happened with L.A.? They stuck with the hot hand. I mean, Rob said it all year that they've got to stick with a hot hand, and look where Philly is, look where LA is. I understand LA's a much better team, but there's still that. What if McMath was still in goal for Philly?
The team, for whatever reason, just played better and more confident when McMath was in there. I don't know why. Maybe they thought.
Does Mondragon speak English?
Yes.
Maybe they thought that McMath was a weak link.
Oh, is he?
So that they had to step up their games in order to help the team stay at the pace that they were playing with under Mondragon. But I think that's one thing among many others that Novak got wrong at the end of the year.
Okay, what else we got?
I vote Hartman again as well. Defender of the Year, Borchers and Olave or Gonzalez?
Gonzalez.
I think the fact that Borchers and Olave are both there kind of hurts them. Similar to how Braun and Fielder both are hurting each other for MVP race.
For me, it's Gonzalez just because their goals against this year for the Galaxy was so much lower than the next team.
Ridiculously low.
Did they even give up 30 league goals this year?
No, 28, I think. It was a stupid number. It was stupid low.
And I get it that he has good goalies and other good defensemen, but he was the big rock behind that.
Yeah. Comeback Player of the Year, David Beckham, Charlie Davies, or Dominic Oduro? Beckham came back from his own arrogance. Davies didn't really come back all that long.
He didn't come back from MLS anyway.
That's a point, though.
I'm still saying Dominic Oduro.
It's Oduro.
Oduro.
It's going to go to Beckham because he's the poster boy, but it should be Oduro, no question. So we're once again unanimous? Is that,
mm-hmm.
I think so. Is this really happening? And then
No. I said Keller for both of you.
What you said was only because of...
Well, it's being said on my luck.
But do you believe that Hartman deserves it over Keller?
Yeah.
Okay. So in terms of deserving, we all agree.
Yeah.
Can we go 7-for-7 and implode the earth?
I think we can.
Eric Hasley.
Let's have Benny go first, though.
Eric Hasley, Luke Rogers, or Bart Rosales, newcomer of the year.
Can I start by saying that I really wouldn't vote any of these people as the newcomer of the year?
Really? Who would you?
Who's your pick?
I just don't really think that there should be an award for these guys who all had good seasons, but not Not okay. Luke Rogers had a good season, but I hate him, so I don't want to give him an award. But I think he's going to win it.
Well, who gets your newcomer of the year?
Luke Rogers, and I'm going to do it gritting my teeth.
What do you got?
This shouldn't even be a competition. Mar Rosales.
Well, Rosales has been hurt so often. That's the problem. I mean, now, like, honestly, I think that he's the best newcomer of the year.
How much time has he been hurt?
He played 13 matches?
Okay. Oh.
He didn't play it.
I think he finished with, like, 12 or 13 goals. Okay,
so, Benny, who did you pick?
I picked Rogers, but that was only because I thought that Rosales.
So you pick Luke Rogers?
And because you love Sheamus.
So you pick Luke
Head Dick.
So you pick Luke Rogers? Is this confirmed?
Oh, he's picking him.
Mm.
Yeah, he played 26 matches. 13.
Oops.
So you're picking...
I'll pick Rogers only and I like Rosales a lot more than him, but especially down the stretch when it really mattered, he wasn't there for the Sounders.
So you're picking Luke Rogers? Yes or no, Luke Rogers?
Yes.
The new what the hell push button.
Booker T.
Thank
what
you.
What the hell? Luke fucking Rogers. Give me your passport, you fucking communist.
I'm so sorry.
Smack your
own. More Rosales.
Woo!
I like Rosales so much more.
On the bright side, the world can keep going on because we all didn't agree on 7 things in a row.
And yeah. real quick, we all think MLS goal of the year was Housley's goal at Seattle.
Is there really any other?
Probably.
I have one goal that might rival it, but Hasley's goal, I think, is just...
The Jeremy... Or was it Jeremy Hall who scored for?
No, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe another goal of the month.
Who's the goal for Portland? Goal of the month. Goal of the month.
It wasn't
this month, bro.
Don't know.
No, my goal of the month, I think, possibly
be goal of the year.
All right, can we move on?
Who had the goal for Portland? Like the juggle far?
Oh, that was Negby.
Negby, that's right. Negby could be the goal.
Negby
goal
was ridiculous.
Both of those are up there. Wisconsin soccer updates. Not much talk about. Chuck Kozlowskis.
He didn't score?
He goes 90. No, oh. he broke his... He's got 5 on the year. Had 5 in the last 8 before this one. But they win again, so good for Helmond Sport. 3-2 win over Vindem. And I guess
I love the Dutch.
Really the only Wisconsin sports update now are the end of the college soccer season and our Milwaukee Wave indoor team. Most of their games will be streamed online if you like indoor soccer. They opened their season with an exhibition against the new Kings of Cincinnati. Won 31-4. I mean, that's...
Fuck yeah! And they were up like 4-2 at halftime.
That's a huge number even for an indoor game.
Aren't you disappointed that we didn't get to go see that?
It's $5.
Do you want to put tickets for season tickets? Interested?
Am I what?
Interested in season tickets?
You know that I'm the statistician, right?
Why don't you know the score?
Because I didn't staticize that time.
We're live, guys.
Yeah, so go away. Yank goal of the month. We did this last month.
Benny's going first, because I know we did Jack for this.
Benny's going first. Who's what's your goal of the month, Benny?
Yank goal of the month is Clint Dempsey against Honduras. It was a beautiful goal, and quite honestly, it gave me hope, and that's what I love about it. And it also involved a great pass of Rex Shea and Michael Orozco accidentally getting an assist.
Fucking Jack and Shea.
I did hear Jack and
Shea. Son of a bitch.
So I feel so that's my goal for October.
It's a safe pick. It's a good pick.
It's a safe pick.
Hey, what's your 3?
I feel like it was a lazy pick. You didn't dig deep in the MLS. Like
oh,
me and
what you
did.
Fucking do?
Okay, anyway, I do have Dempsey at number 3.
Oh, phenomenal.
That means there were 2 above it.
Actually, as do I.
Okay.
That's in my 3rd as well.
Well, now you're ruining it. Now you're taking my thunder. Okay. God damn it. Top 2 guys, both will be in MLS Cup Final in 2 weeks. Number 2 was Danny Cruz's goal against Portland. This was an absolute bomb.
Screamer.
Oh, wow. Number 1, Adam Moffitt against LA Galaxy, I think.
Galaxy?
He shot this from... They still had the throw ball lines on there. He shot this from the 30-yard line and put it in, which means it was a 40-yard strike because the goal was at the back of the end zone.
You see, that's a very good goal, and Adam Moffat's goal was definitely a very nice one. However,
he's fucking Scottish! He's not American!
Is this true?
Yeah, he's born in Glasgow. Adam Moffat. Glasgow.
Is there any chance that he plays for the U.S.?
Less than zero.
God damn it.
I knew it was too good to be true.
Less than Latou.
Seb is American.
He actually has a passport.
He's a green card, at least.
Okay, I'm gonna just come out and say it then. It sounded like he had an American name. I just rolled with it. I didn't even
know. And that's what you get for being less prepared than me.
As always, Rob managed to cock it up.
That's bullshit. Benny just knows more than I do about the U.S. national team situation. I definitely put in more work than he did for this podcast.
And you still didn't know that Enemok wasn't American.
I'm sorry. I saw his name. I was like, oh, this motherfucker's got to be American.
Good research, asshole.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, Ryan. That's my hopefully American goal.
My top 10.
Do you have any idea how bad we would lamb blast you?
We would lamb blast you so hard.
No. We would lamb blast you if you had a non-Yank in any of your goals of the week or whatever.
Let's go. Number 10 goes to Teal Bunbury for his goal against the Red Bulls.
Oh, he's Canadian. 10? Sucking dick.
He played for the U.S. though, so...
How many goals you got?
I have top 10 here.
A pitch.
Bunbury's was off of a corner kick. Too. Ball pops around off two heads off of, I believe it was Bravo's chest. And right off that, Bunbury, full volley to the far corner. It wasn't so much the technique. It was a very well-placed shot, but just the being aware enough to catch the ball off the bounce, strike it that cleanly, and find a corner. Way to go, Teal Bunbury. Number 9, his teammate, CJ Sapong, on the same day, actually, with a great side volley.
This podcast is unbelievable.
The ball pops. That's unbelievable.
It's 1:30. We passed 90 minutes.
I told you.
We didn't even break for halftime.
CJ Sapong.
We're making a movie.
A great side volley around Roy Miller. So the ball was clearly not his ball to make, but he still did a fucking ninja spin around him.
Big Africa for the win. Yeah,
Big Africa, number 9. And a nice cartwheel roundoff for the celebration. Number 8 goes to DC's Danny Woolard for October 2nd goal against the Crew. Now, off of a free kick from the right side from Carranza. It was a nice little matrix, scorpion kick, or not, the crane that it floats in, guides it into the corner. Very impressive. Number 7 goes to Seattle Sounders, Fix Sammy Ochoa, according to Big Ben over there.
Wow.
Sammy Ochoa with the diving header that managed to nutmeg Dan Kennedy, which it's hard to get a head ball through a guy's legs. But,
so that's tough.
Props for that one. But still, second best header this month. Not the best. Number 6 goes to Benny Failhaber, similar to Sapong's goal, but an athletic side volley. Ball kind of squirts around, hits the crossbar, and Benny, little leaping side volley. Very impressive. Number 5, which also gets header of the month, goes to Eddie Gavin for a ridiculous diving header, where he was actually aiming downwards, pops in onto the bottom of the crossbar from 12 yards out. Just textbook header from in terms of diving headers. Number 4 goes to Kenny Cooper, his goal against Vancouver on the 2nd of October. A nice crossfield ball from Perlaza. Kenny takes it down with his chest and then knuckles one into the far corner. Would have been higher if it wasn't kind of a questionable shot, but it's still on the net. Number 3 goes to Dempsey for his little Cruyff and off-foot finish into the top corner against Honduras. Also number 2, Danny Cruz. With his laser against Portland. And number 1, the only...
Adam Moffat.
The only impressive goal outside of the U.S., outside of MLS, was Edson Buttle's little first-touch chip on October 1st against Bochum.
On October 1st.
On October 1st. Had to dig deep for that. I wasn't sure if it was, but it was October 1st.
It's pronounced Bochum, to my surprise.
I go Bochum in the face. But yeah, so Edson Buttle... chases the ball down and gives the good old fuck you to the keeper. Makes him look like a dick. He's just sprawled all over the place and just lands it on the line. So Edson Buttle with the Yank goal of the month for October. Okay. So our votes go to Clint Dempsey, Adam Moffat, and Edson Buttle. So I think
I think Adam Moffat now just has, like, I just don't like Adam Moffat.
I love it. No, I love Adam Moffat. I wish he was American, but he's not. I'm a big Moffat fan.
Well, I don't like him. I don't, like, I've never seen him. I only don't like him on the basis that I thought he was American.
It's fine. But I guess the unanimous, our aggregate goal of the week, month goes to Clint Dempsey. So, Clint Dempsey gets...
How about another one the next 10 days or so?
Score a goddamn goal, please, guys.
Anybody.
Yank of the week. What do we got?
I'm changing mine. I did have Landon Donovan, but upon thinking it over, the two hottest guys who are American right now seem to be Sasha Kljestan and Mike McGee. And Mike McGee is scoring goals for L.A. And that's just very impressive.
I got
this is the part of L.A. Galaxy season that they said, we're a winning MLS Cup. We're not going to fuck up like we did the last 2 years. And Mike McGee's really helping to lead that charge. So I'm saying Mike McGee.
I like Mike McGee by a country mile. I mean, he's had a pretty up and down career. I mean, he's been playing in the league for almost 10 years now. Spent a long time with New York. And then kind of waddled over to L.A., struggled a bit, and then all of a sudden is blowing up the last month or two. He even played some goalkeeper in the year earlier as well.
U.S. national team?
I'd like to say yes. He might get a Camp Cup kick invite, but probably not. He's one of those guys, like, why wasn't he better than he actually is? But he still had a nice professional career. So.
Ooh, last bit of Yankees I forgot to put out there. Mark Pelosi made the bench today for the reserves for Liverpool.
Did he?
Yeah. Good for him.
Did he sign there officially?
I'm taking that means yes.
Because I thought, you know, there were a couple of guys who I thought were there. Oh, Oliver didn't sign it. Oliver was ever didn't sign.
Yeah.
So good for Pelosi. We should do a Yank of the Month, too, while we're at it, too.
Yank of the Month? That's tough.
I'll give it to Sasha.
It seems we've had no preparation for this, so we're kind of winging this out of our ass.
Just to kind of balance it out between him and McGee.
I'll give it to Altidore. In the first part of the month, he was definitely on form.
In October?
Was it? I mean, it's been a while since his Europa League.
He didn't score in October. He had no goals in October.
It's okay.
But again,
it's
okay. This is like we're again, totally spontaneous. No one, this all.
Don't worry, you're not going to get ripped like I did for the Moffitt pick.
I'm getting lamb blasted for picking fucking Scotsman for goal of the week.
You love Scotland, though.
I do. I'm not America, though. Sorry, Silky.
He doesn't listen to this.
No one listens to this.
I don't want to be too cliche, but I believe Clint Dempsey's been on a good run of form.
Yes. We got a lot of good nominees.
Clint Dempsey's being himself, which is good enough to contend for the award.
Kleskin's a good pick. Dempsey's a good pick. I'm going to stay stateside and go with Mike McGee because he's my latest man crush. I love Mike McGee. Mike McGee's the fucking man, so...
Loves himself to McGee.
I love Mike McGee. I guess, off the cuff... and no, fuck that! Hurt Gomez gets Yank of the Month. Just because, you know why? Because fuck you, Jurgen, that's why.
We're going to end this long podcast on an angry note!
Yeah, fuck you, Jurgen. Let's talk to Hurt, bitch.
Suck a dude!
Suck
really
a dude!
I really wish we had Jurgen Camp.
What the hell?
What the hell?
What the hell, Jurgen?
And is that all we got?
It's been a fucking 100 minutes. I hope so.
Is that it, really?
Is there a chance in the future that we could have Booker T come on for the podcast?
Oh,
no, okay. Literally no chance.
That would be a phenomenal, though.
What the hell? What soccer?
I thought we were here to talk about Seamus' paste thighs.
Well, this has been Association Football Marathon.
Extra time.
Extra time.
We're going to have Ben Franklin all next podcast.
We'll try and get him anyway. Cubs suck.
Well,
there goes our Cubs viewership.
Yeah, go Yanks. Fuck them up.
See you next week, everybody.
Fuck your french fries.
Thank you. I'm sorry.